right, buddy? Hey, it's been too long, man. Long time no see. It's always great to do these in person. It looks like your shoulder's a little wet there.
Yeah. You know, is it a good day if a bird doesn't shit on your shoulder, you know? I think this is number 4 now.
I get it. I am a large individual, so mathematically I have better odds of getting shit on by a bird, but you know, this is getting a little ridiculous. I feel like this is targeting, you know? This is classic targeting right here, and I will not stand for it. But they do say it's good luck, and I don't know if that's true or not, but maybe that's just what everybody tells me.
Yeah, well, I hope it's good luck for me, buddy, because I'm here, my annual SEC Media Days ballot.
Ooh, baby.
By the time the cousins are listening to this, Shane, we'll be on our way to Atlanta. This is what, year number 4 as a pod will be down there. So always great. You know, we're very appreciative for the opportunity. And I hope that we do this year's Media Days better than ever. That's the goal every year, this football season, better than ever. And it starts with the media ballot.
It does. It's funny because it literally starts with that. And who you think the best this is, the best that is. And then it ends with the list, and that's what we're talking about. Because, brother, I've missed on a few, and I've hit a few. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I do feel like this is the season that there's more uncertainty than ever.
So it's harder than ever.
It is harder than ever. I do feel like there's going to be some teams that you've put at the bottom that will be near to the top, and vice versa.
And it would have been a lot easier if we still had East and West.
Yeah.
It's harder because it's unbalanced. The schedules and everything. Yeah. So, you know, there's many ways to, what do they say, to skin a pig or...
Skin a cat.
There you go. I was way off. But I'm trying my best. And speaking of the cats, I think that's a perfect place to start.
Birds and cats. I think that was a match made in heaven. You need more of them here to get rid of this bird situation.
Number 16, Shane, SEC Media Day's official. This is how I'll be voting it. Kentucky Wildcats. I know Mark Stoops motivated, right? That's why you're wearing your blue today. Wrong shade of blue, but you're still wearing it to support the Cats. Man, I don't see any reason for optimism. We just lost Vince Morrow. He's been with Stoops since day one, stealing all our recruits to Louisville. And buddy, I mean, I'll be stunned if Kentucky wins 5 games this year.
I feel bad. I feel bad, you know, because...
Am I wrong?
No. Yeah. I mean, it comes down to 2 teams, and I'm sure the next one's going to... We'll talk about... And I'm trying to decide which one has more SEC wins, or which one's more likely to have more SEC wins.
It's too bad they're not playing each other.
How many would show up to that game? You know what I'm saying? Especially if it's the end of the year, you know what I'm saying? Right. It's brutal, and it's not fun. It's not exciting. You know, there's some Kentucky fans that are trying to find a glass half full type situation with the depth and the age of the roster and things like that. Calzada coming in with all that SEC experience. You know, the defense has always, you know, had moments. But I don't know, man. I just feel really bad about this situation, and mainly because everyone else is having success. You know, it's not so much that Kentucky's never had success. I just did a highlight reel the other day on the countdown talking of, you know, it was the first time they had a win in the swamp in 31 years. And it felt like that was the start of something special. And then where did it go, you know? So that's what I feel bad is because Kentucky fans had a taste of it. You know what I'm saying? They got a sample, and then they went back to the store to buy some more, and they're like, oh, no, we're out of stock. That's kind of what it feels like. And unfortunately, I agree with you here. I do think that this isn't – again, I want to be perfectly clear. This is Mike's ballot, not mine. We'll do mine – we always do mine at Media Day, so be sure to hit the notifications on, because when we go live, I'll be sure to list that one probably Thursday. But, yeah.
Well, we always have those Florida wins.
Yeah.
You know what?
We'll always have. That was a good run. And the South Carolina one, you know, back and forth, that used to be fun. And there used to be some fun games. Hell, they beat Tennessee. We had the bourbon bet. nobody returns their calls now. They don't even, I think they want their bourbon back, you know? So I can't even get anybody to bet with me anymore.
Well, another fan base you're not going to get many bets from these days right now, Shane. Mississippi State, 15. Yeah. And I think, again, I'm not trying to say this disrespectfully, but I think Mississippi State could be one of the most improved teams in the conference this year. Mm-hmm. Of course, they just went 2-10, but they're playing a damn murderer's row.
Yeah.
They play virtually all the best teams in the conference.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a tough, tough road, and I think if they – which I think it's conceivable that they make a bowl. They'd have to sweep the non-conference, obviously. But if they go from 0-8 to 2-6 in conference play, they'll make a bowl game. Yeah. I think that because they play Arkansas, I mean, there's opportunities for them to get there. But I don't know. I'm not sold on Jeff Lebby, the head coach. I'm certainly not sold on the defensive coordinator, Hustler. He was one of the worst we've ever seen last year. They brought in 60-some-odd transfers, so this is going to be a completely different new-look team. But I feel like this is going to be like a year one. While that should have been last year, I think it's this year for Mississippi State. And I think it's going to be another rough year. And again, if they get to 6-6, I wouldn't be stunned, but I would be surprised.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. You know, one of the things – I mean, we saw a few games last year.
Play Georgia well. Play Texas well.
Did you say they played Texas well?
Yeah.
You know, they played some really good football games. Tennessee, they played well. Clearly they didn't have the talent. And I always wonder, you know, if this dance sticks around, you know, if Lebby sticks there, what does it look like when revenue share? This is one of those teams, like, does this really help Mississippi State? I hope it does. Because traditionally, I feel bad for state fans because you want to talk about the best fans in the country? Mississippi State fans. I mean, because they don't have national championships that they can hang their hat on. You know, they
love their damn football team. They've been close. They've had some success. And then they disappear for a while. But they've also had some very optimistic coaches. And I feel like Lebby could be that guy. I mean, you start putting points on the damn board. I feel like – I think it's there. I think the fandom's there. But unfortunately, their roster's getting pillaged every offseason. Hell, quarterbacks are leaving to be a backup somewhere. You can't have that and be successful in this conference. You mentioned toughest schedule. A lot of people talked about Florida schedule and Georgia schedule. No, Mississippi State had the toughest schedule the last two seasons, and this one's no different. So, yeah, I feel like this is a team that's going to catch an SEC program or two, maybe one.
Yeah,
but they're going to catch it. There'll be improvement, but they're still down there.
Yeah. All right. Now here's where it gets tough. Now we did this last week. Anybody that missed it, go check it out. The quarterback rankings. Splitting hairs for the next couple teams here. So I think there is a drop-off between 15 and this next team. Does that make sense?
Yeah, those last two are in a tier of their own.
Right, yeah. Right. So 14, I'm going Arkansas. And I hate it because we spoke up Taylen Green. I think he's awesome. We like Sam Pittman. I actually think – I can't believe this is like a bold statement these days, but I think he's underrated as a coach. I know the record's not gaudy, but neither is the talent on the roster. So, can Arkansas be better than this? Certainly. But you can't – it's just difficult. First SEC game at Ole Miss, that's tricky. You're going to be underdogs. Then you bounce back immediately. You're at Memphis. Now, you should beat Memphis.
Yeah.
But that's a landmine right there. That's going to be Memphis Super Bowl. Yeah. SEC team comes to town. And then after that, then you get Notre Dame. And, oh, by the way, Southeastern Conference already announced it's 11 a.m. Like, what the hell are we doing? It's like they're setting up Arkansas to fail.
Yeah.
Now, if they beat Ole Miss, they beat – which I'm 90% sure they beat Memphis, but I've been 90% sure Auburn's going to beat Cal, and it didn't happen. You know what I mean? That beat Memphis, and you beat Notre Dame, which our buddy Steven Lassen's got Notre Dame as a playoff team. All of a sudden, Arkansas is the talk of the SEC.
Yeah.
But it's probably even more realistic that they lose at Ole Miss, they lose to Notre Dame, and who knows what happens with Memphis.
Yeah.
But if they lose Memphis, and then the season's done. I mean, they may be the worst team in the conference if all that happens.
Yeah.
So there's a lot riding on it just right out the gate. And that's before we get to at Tennessee, A&M, who we can't beat, Missouri, we can't beat, at LSU, at Texas. I mean, this is a damn gauntlet right here. Silver lining, put them low. Expectations are low. Talen Green, maybe he can lift us up to a 7-8, maybe a 9-win season.
Yeah.
I don't think that is impossible. I don't think that's unheard of. If Talen Green is who we think he is, you know, he can potentially get us there. But it's going to take a lot.
Potential, you know, and I think that's the way you look at Arkansas, is there's potential that they pull off another big upset like they did with Tennessee. And there's potential that you know, if they could have got those single possession games last year, we'd be singing a different tune here. I always wonder what would happen. I mean, we always do this, that the whole Hugh Freeze talk, you know.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10. if you would have won two of those three, one, you know, what would we be saying about Arkansas right now? Would they have lost so many players? It blows my mind. It just feels like college football is always like it's so small. The mistakes are so small. Like, we want to cash out on a coach because he had a real bad season, but he pulls off a couple upsets. We want to keep him forever, and then that's how you breed success. I hate it for Arkansas just because they've been gone so long. This is a fan base that's hungry.
They deserve a winning team.
Yeah. You watch when Bobby P was there the last time. That was I didn't like playing down there.
Right.
We had Dooley. We went in there and got our asses kicked. Tennessee always loses Arkansas for some reason. It drove me nuts. But then on top of that, you see baseball, basketball, whatever sport, they'll get behind you if you're successful. But it's been so long since they've had that success on football, I feel like it's not as hungry as it used to be.
And go back to what I was saying about the unbalanced schedules. If they had Ole Miss schedule, if they had Missouri schedule, if they had Tennessee schedule, we'd be expecting them to go 8-4.
Yeah.
But instead of that, they get one of the toughest gauntlets in the damn conference.
COVID year. They got their asses handed to them. 10 games, they're like, all right, let's make theirs the toughest damn schedule possible. So, no, the scheduling gods have not been good to them. But if they can find some success this season, I feel like when they redo this schedule, not saying it's going to be Sam, but whoever's Arkansas coach, I think it's going to appreciate the next couple of years.
All right, number 13. I hope I'm wrong about this, Shane. I hope I'm wrong because this is one of the best stories in all of college football last year. I hope they can keep the train going. We need this program to at least be competitive. And again, 13th, not great, but it's better than 16th, which they have been a lock for in years past, Vanderbilt. It's part of that is the schedule, too. At Virginia Tech, right out the gates, or week two, that's tricky.
Yeah.
South Carolina early. I mean, we already got Diego trash talking South Carolina, which I love because he's a guy that he'll talk it and then he'll go back it up.
Yeah.
But you got to back it up because if you ain't beating South Carolina, then I feel like 13 is probably appropriate. You got LSU, you got Texas, you got Bama. Those could be the three best teams in Tennessee. You know, those could be probably not Tennessee, but those could be three of the top four teams in hell. Tennessee just went to the playoffs. So, it's an uphill climb. I think Vanderbilt is vastly superior to where they've been, but they still got a long way to go. They bring back more than anybody in the conference. That's good. They're not sneaking up on anybody this year. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Vanderbilt's a little bit higher, but I can't put them much higher or any higher, really, than 13th.
Yeah, but again, I do feel like there's going to be – 9 competitive football games that they have. There'll be 3 that they get blown out in, I think, mainly because of all the chirping Pavi has been doing on a school bus. But, I think at the end of the day, though, he sees this list, he'd be like, who the hell's SEC Mike? You know? So,
you know, one thing I want to see from Vanderbilt, and this has got nothing to do with their team, I want to see their damn fans show up this year.
Yeah.
They've invested in the stadium. It's done. Again, you're not going to keep all the fans out because SEC – the best fans in the world, they want to travel, they want to come to Nashville, but you can't have the stadium taken over.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Not when your team's out there busting their ass, they're putting a winning product on the field, they're beating number one Alabama. Go support these guys because, I don't know, it just pisses me off that when they play home games and it's an away game. Mm-hmm. We got to get away from that. And again, that's not – got nothing to do with the football team, really, but they have shown enough that they deserve respect from their own fans. I shouldn't have to be – I don't have to plead with any other fans to go support their team. But Vanderbilt fans need to show up, and maybe that's the difference between upsetting a team or two at home when they actually have a damn home field advantage.
Sleeping – I don't want to say a sleeping giant, but it is. Vanderbilt could be a fantastic situation, a fantastic job. It's a wonderful town. I mean, you could sell it so well, even for Vandy fans. Come in and have a weekend in Nashville. It's awesome. But I'm with you. If the fans show up and Vanderbilt continues to have the success, it almost forces the hands of this now lucrative, you know, situation that they got with Disney to spend some money to get a damn football team there. And it's not hard to sell.
Right.
Nashville is not hard to sell at all. I mean, you're even starting to see when they had that – look at that small success that they had. And Theo Vaughn's on the sideline. And, you know, actors and actresses are showing up and country stars. They want to help. But if the football team's not helping, if the fans aren't helping, they don't want to go there to a half-empty new stadium. So I'm right there with you. A lot of this season is based on what the success they have.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but hell, what are they going to do? They're going to be featured prominently in the Netflix. I think they're the debut. They're going to gain some fans that probably as we're recording this, no clue who Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt is. They're going to know him here in about a month.
Yeah,
they're trying to capitalize on it. So.
Like at Last Chance U, you just kind of watch it. You watch it, and then you're like, oh, man. And then you either love or hate some certain teams, you know. So Vanderbilt will be a team you love for sure.
All right, number 12. You're going to love this, buddy. Number 12 in the SEC. Auburn Tigers, come on down. They're right now on the golf course. Hugh Freeze gearing up for the season as his program's in tatters.
Is this recruiting or is this
No, this is all the field. Number 12. Again, I mean, I kind of kid, but not really. I mean, I'm telling you, the next four or five, I don't know how in the hell to place them. But I have no faith. I don't know how anybody's got faith in Hugh Freeze. I mean, literally none. Again, we can spin however we want. We've been spinning for years that it's going to get better. It just gets worse. This is the year. So, you know, go out there and do it. But I'm not giving them any goodwill, no faith. They have to prove me wrong.
And they will. You know, I mean, this is the one you need to bookmark right here because I am on the Auburn wagon, and I do think that this is a breakout season. And, you know, Hugh Freeze was asked the other day about the recruiting and all that, and I get it. Here's the thing. I don't get upset over recruiting because – And you shouldn't either, Mike, because you could care less. You know what I'm saying? I care more about the transfer portal than I do recruiting. And I feel like that's the attitude Hugh Freeze has in this situation. He's probably just like, fuck this class.
A year ago, he was all recruiting to hell with the transfer portal.
He goes back and forth. Maybe he doesn't think this
is a sounds like a guy that's locked in and knows, you know, he's believes in his vision, doesn't it?
He's just waiting for that $20 million check to show up so he can go find him a damn football team. He can do it out the golf course, you know. Here's the thing. At the end of that, he says, when we have the success on this football field, they'll want to come here. And that's at the end of the day, kids want to be part of something that's special. They don't want to help build something. You know, there are a lot that will just roll into Georgia's, roll into Ohio State's, roll into Texas, you know, and just that's just – but I feel like there are some kids that want to be part of something special, and Auburn could be, man. Auburn's been at the top of the world, and I felt like when we went non-division, that helped programs like Auburn because if they lose to one of those rivalries, they still have an opportunity to make a college football playoff. This is a very, very good football team. I love the wide receiver room. I do think that we're sleeping on Jackson a little bit. I don't know, man. I think at the end of the day, this is the most talent that Hugh Freeze has had on that roster, and I believe we get –
the most out of it. So, yeah, I think you're wrong on Auburn here.
The two teams I said previously, Vanderbilt and Arkansas, yeah. They're both – Auburn is at both this year?
Yeah.
What if I was to guarantee you – and it's not a guarantee, but what if I guarantee you Auburn lost to both Vanderbilt and Arkansas with no other information? I mean, they could be 10-2 for all you know. What's Auburn's record if you guaranteed knew they lost to Auburn and Vanderbilt? I remember Hugh Freeze never beat Diego Pavi. He's 0-0.
And I do like Auburn's schedule, you know, compared to some of the other SEC teams. So I would say in that scenario, 6-6.
I don't even think they'd get that many.
Maybe, yeah.
They need those two.
Listen,
you know?
This is a bold team by yourself.
Maybe toilet bowl. All right, number 11, Shane. Here's another one. I don't know how to – I may be criminally under. I'm sure you think I'm criminally underrating this team. Give me Missouri, number 11. Now it's tough because I love the schedule. Obviously, I think the defense will be much much improved, but I just don't know. I think they may lose their most critical games. I don't know how to. I just don't know how to place Missouri. They'll probably finish higher than this, but that. What? Again, this is supposed to be my ballot to where, like, this is supposed to be how they finish. Like, I think they could be, like, 9-3, but that.
Yeah, but wouldn't they be higher? Because the ballot's based off the record, right?
Right. That's what I'm kind of talking out both sides of my mouth here. But they may be, the 10th or 11th best team, but be 11-3 thanks to the schedule. I don't know where to put Missouri. I said it on the fall camp preview. It's like they broke my heart.
Yeah.
And I'm not willing to give it to them. They got to earn my trust back.
Sound like my wife, you know. When I'm right about something, she'll come out with 10 different scenarios on why I was wrong.
But we weren't right about them. That's the problem.
Well, if they finish 9 wins, then there's no reason to have them this low.
Right, but you just said Auburn would be better. They're playing Auburn, right, at Auburn. And they're playing Bama and A&M, who I think are going to be.
When I'm doing mine, I'm looking at the schedule. Yeah. Is a big one, and situational. I do think that when you look at some of their toughest games, there's they're on the road. Let's say they lose them. Let's say they lose all four of those. They go 8-4. Is that a successful season at Missouri?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so, you know? So what's the odds of them losing those four or finding one win in that mix? So, obviously, I threw Alabama in there. That's a home game. This is a team that could go 9 wins. I love that Drinks out here telling you this. People around that program are telling you how talented that team is, mainly on defense.
Yeah, but we also know he is a
I get it. Forget Drink. Forget.
Let me just say this. I think he is a follower of psychology.
Yeah.
And when his, just like a lot of these coaches.
Yeah.
When their team is great, they say, "God, I don't know if we're going to beat anybody."
Uh-huh.
If it's not good, this is the best damn team I've ever had. You know, so that's how I'm reading it, to where he's trying to pump up.
Do you think
his
he's
guys.
like playing games with us? Like the mentalist?
Like the blanket. Like, you know what I mean?
We spent 5 minutes talking about Diet Mountain Dew and food. You think that was just a game?
I think by saying this is the best team,
yeah.
I think he's trying to get confidence in players that may not have it.
Mike, I'm telling you, you gotta also watch where the money goes. There's a lot of money tied up in this roster.
Yeah.
And I just, for me, I think, and we'll get to it at the end, I think this may be one of your biggest misses.
Okay.
I love the schedule. I'm higher on Pribula than you are.
Yep.
And I do think that this is the deepest team. Maybe not the most talented. I mean, Luther's a different guy. Theo Weiss, a different guy. But I think overall – they got a lot of talent and a lot of Sunday talent that will start showing later in the season. You're sleeping on Mizzou.
Okay. I'm sleeping on number 10, I think, for sure.
Yeah.
Ole Miss, Rebels. Again, schedule's nice.
Yeah.
Replacing literally everybody. I just don't know what to do with them. I mean, they're another one where very conceivably they go 10-2, 9-3. Uh-huh. But I even 10-2, I don't know, because they couldn't do it last year with all that talent. So – I'm thinking more 8-4 type team. I think they take a slight step back. I think they lose a game they shouldn't, just like they lost several last year they shouldn't. And I think in some of the marquee games, like at Georgia, I think they'll get smoked. LSU, that'll be a huge game. If they lose to LSU at home, they're not having a good year. So give me Ole Miss number 10.
Tough for me to argue with that one. And I've always felt good about Lane Kiffin teams since he's been over there, except for this one. And maybe it's just because it's not highlighted by all those marquee names that he's been bringing in the portal. They got talent. They went out there and got a lot of talent this year. That doesn't change. But putting it all together and say it's going to work, it feels like there's a year that you miss. Yeah. And I feel like this may be a miss year. And by miss, you're talking about consistent. Lane Kiffin is consistently hitting that 10-11 mark.
Right.
You know, he's consistently in conversation for college football playoffs. But I do think that this is a year that they don't have that. And honestly, you may even be a little high on them. I feel like this is a – I know the shirt. Maybe that's why the bird shit on me. I don't know. But I'm just thinking I'm going to shit on them too, man. I feel like this is a bad year for Ole Miss.
Oh, man, I had them even higher until about 5 minutes ago. I switched it, so I'm glad I
– Oh, good.
Give me – now, this one I don't feel great about. Number 9, South Carolina. One of the hottest teams in the country. I loved him. Love Lenore Sellers. He's number one in my quarterback rankings. I think he's the best quarterback in the country. So naturally, they should be one of the best teams, right? Well, perhaps. But their defense was dominant last year, replacing six of the front seven. That's not going to be easy. Replacing a safety that just got drafted in not only the second round, the top of the second round, so borderline first round pick. That's just a lot of talent. South Carolina, I believe, 4 of the top 40 picks in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
That's Georgia numbers. That's Bama numbers. Can they replace that immediately? That's a huge question mark for me. And they got a very difficult schedule themselves. Mm-hmm. I think Lenore Sellers, we steal a game or two. We probably don't deserve to win. But I can't put them any higher than number 9.
Yeah, and you know what's funny with South Carolina? It seems like you always feel like this is kind of going to be a down year. I do. I mean, South Carolina fans know. I'm always picking on them. But they find guys. You know, it's like,
can't get 2022 out of your head.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know. But I will say this. When you have potentially the best quarterback in the country, this is one that could blow your list up just by that alone. And I am a firm believer, if you've not seen the quarterback show after this one, be sure to check that out. Mike's list, not mine. But at the top of the list, we were both in agreement that Heisman Sellers should be there. And that's why this is one of the more volatile teams. Why you kind of pull back is because of the schedule. It's just the schedule for me. It's going to LSU now. It's Clemson, you know, they've dubbed them the Nat. I mean, hell, you get on ESPN, they crown them bastards.
You got Bama coming to town.
Absolutely. A lot of, and some of those teams that you kind of penciled as tosses last year, they've also risen a little bit. So this is a very, very tough schedule. But it's tough for me to argue because, like you said, the defense is the biggest one for me. A lot of turnover there. I think we'll still have success. We got a running back situation that's not settled as well. So there's just a little.
Rocket Sanders was so valuable for them last year.
Yeah, they had to go out and get two guys to fill that void, and one of them may not be there.
Right. I don't know if you might love this, you might hate this, because people are down on this team. I put them a little bit higher. Number 8, Tennessee. I feel like I'm way higher than most people on Tennessee right now. I've kind of been roped back in. Schedule, I think the defense will be really, really good again. I think we get to 9 wins here for Tennessee, which puts us right around this 8 mark. If they can get a little bit higher, they get solid quarterback play, if they can pull an upset or two, then I'll be dead wrong. They'll be top 5. They'll be in playoff contention once again. But give me number 8 for Tennessee.
This is probably the worst list I've seen. Oh, man. You know, I get it. I get why you're saying what you're saying. And honestly, it's probably not fair because we don't know what Aguilar is going to be bringing to this right. football team. If I told you that Aguilar QBR was the fifth highest in the conference, I think you would quickly shoot Tennessee right. up yeah, the yeah. rankings here.
I also think it would be different if it was like an established offensive line, established receivers, and we're throwing yeah. in this transfer late.
Yeah.
But it's the whole thing is new.
Mike,
and he wasn't there for spring. It's just difficult.
I still think this is one of the most, if not the most, talented defense in the conference.
Yeah.
Deep. I love the receiver. I know people give Tennessee shit over the receivers. I think that's what needed to happen. They needed just a snap and clear.
Yeah.
A reset, a hard reset. And I've talked to a lot of folks over there, and they feel more confident about Aguilar picking up the system than some of the quarterbacks they've had in the past. So I do think that bodes well. This is a kid not afraid to throw the football. So hopefully that opens up the playbook for Josh Heupel, and pair that with a good defense. I felt like the only reason Tennessee was successful last year was that defense. So I think you're a little low on them because I am a homer. And I do love the schedule. I think they have the easiest schedule in the country, or not the country, but in the SEC.
Yeah.
Which is probably like the 25th in the country. But they still got a lot of very winnable games. There's just a couple of those coin tosses, and I feel like you're giving some other teams credit in that.
Yeah, and one thing, I'm not – one player doesn't make a football team, obviously, but maybe their best player, Gerard McCoy, tore his ACL in January. Yeah. So how quickly can he get back? He's a, you know, a defensive shutdown corner. Uh-huh. Could that cost you against Syracuse? Maybe. Against Georgia, you'd love to have that guy. I don't know. I don't even know if he's going to be on the field. I don't know how effective he'll be that early.
Yeah.
But that potentially shifts a loss or two. You know,
that's just fair. And that's one of my biggest is – expectations are very high in East Tennessee because you've been to the playoffs, but then you open up a season with all this new stuff,
right.
You know, with Syracuse neutral site and Georgia week three. It's not an easy road, but if you go 1-2 against the, or 1-1 against the, I think Tennessee's got an opportunity to at least win 9.
Yeah. And the silver lining there, Syracuse especially has got a ton of transition themselves, and so does Georgia.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of even on that viewpoint. All right, number 7. So I'm too high on everybody. I must be too too low on everybody. I must be too high on somebody. You probably ain't going to like this one because I know you hate this team too. Give me Oklahoma, Shane. I think they vastly improved.
Yeah.
We already talked about John Mateer. He's way better than Arch. One spot. But I think just an upgrade, overall upgrade, just competence at quarterback will be huge.
Yeah.
Brent Venables, I still question if he's an SEC head coach.
Right.
I know he's not only an SEC, he may be arguably the best defensive coordinator in college football. So I got confidence in the defense. We added Jaden Ott. I think that's an addition, the Cal running back that few people are not – talking about enough. What does this offense look like? I know the schedule's daunting, but I think we can go 9 wins here with the improvements we've made at Oklahoma.
Well, the fact we're halfway through your list and we're talking 9 wins shows you how good this conference will be and how tough it is to coach over there in Oklahoma the last 2 seasons. Because you're right, I do think that they kind of got screwed in the scheduling department. You know, and Lady Luck, let's not act like no injuries happened at all the teams, but it couldn't happen. It felt like it happened more in Norman than anywhere. And so I do wonder, you know, they got some – it's the off-field adjustments. It feels like Venables will come out here and says he's always feels like he's coaching for his job. But it really feels like he's coaching for his job this year. You know what I'm saying? All the chips are on the table. They went out. They got, in my mind, the best quarterback in the portal. They went out and got one of the best running backs in the portal. They got a GM to help
Yep.
Venables, you know, run this ship. I think that alleviates what you know, taking that pressure off, because you got damn Hugh Freeze out here golfing every day, which I do not find that a problem. I think everyone should be able to golf every day, but they're giving him shit. You know, they don't. But Venables doesn't have to focus as hard on that part of the job. Same thing with collecting money. It's like he could just focus on what we really want him to do is develop a good football team and turn it into victories. Oklahoma's one of those I feel like has a high floor, low ceiling. So putting it in the middle, I'm right there with you, because this is a team that could finish in the top five or the bottom five.
Nope, you missed something critical, though.
I don't miss anything, Mike.
Here's the difference between you and Hugh Freeze. You golf every day and you still deliver at work.
Oh, yeah.
that's where fans are upset.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's if they went 15-0,
you fucking give them a membership. You know what I mean? But no, it's a different story.
How many wins does he have to have and be able to golf every day? Like,
you heard it from him. He's got to make a bowl game.
Oh, that's his standards. That ain't the standards down there. What do you think? I give him a hard time. You know, and Lane Kiffin gives a hard time. Then I see him on a boat all the time. You know, it's like.
Well, he's winning.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Damn, that's a good point.
And they wanted Lane, but they had to settle for old you. Speaking of settling, number six, you ain't going to like this. LSU. Give me them Tigers. I'm not a. Not a huge believer. I know they spent tremendously in the portal. Should have one of the best quarterbacks. Still question the defense. I think they got a lot of toss-ups people are not recognizing, like the Florida game, like at Oklahoma, maybe even Ole Miss. At Ole Miss is a toss-up type game. I think they drop a couple of these people are not expecting. And I think Brian Kelly, he started with a boom. He's going out with a... I screwed that up. He started with a bang. He's going to end with a boom. I think he disappoints yet again.
You're wrong. You know, I mean, and I'm not picking on you. I think this, when you get into this little window, it's a matter of opinion.
Yeah.
And I feel like we all got some of those teams that we feel like this is the year. I feel like that's an LSU football team. I love the schedule layout. I love the fact that he did go in, that he put some of his own damn money to get the players needed.
I don't know how you could like the schedule, though. At Clemson week one, Florida week three, at Ole Miss, the next SEC game. Now, if you win all those games, hell yeah, I love the schedule.
It's just the home games for me.
That's those landmine after landmine, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're at Alabama. They get A&M at home.
The toughest ones are the Ole Miss on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, because –
At Clemson?
Clemson, yeah. But, again, I like it because I'm not high on Clemson.
Right.
And I know LSU's not won a season opener in a long time, and I just feel like – and maybe I said this last year. You know, I say it every year. You go out there, you get the job done here. This opens up everything. I do think that this is the most talent that Coach Kelly's had. When Coach Kelly first came down there and won the West, we were like, shit, wait till these recruits. Well, this is that team.
Yeah.
And this is – he went out. He can't make any more excuses. He got his coaches. He got his players.
Right.
If LSU doesn't have success – then I'll be the first in line to kick his ass back north. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if he comes out here and does exactly what I think he can, this LSU team will be one of those teams that is in the playoffs and feared when you play against them, because they are loaded with talent that's going to be playing on Sunday one day.
Okay. Number five. I know you all hate this one. Florida Gators. Come on, Dad. Dun, 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 dun. Go, Gator. The main drawback here is Billy Napier, of course, but we love the quarterback. I think the offensive line is going to be solid, defensive line solid, running backs, Jaden Ball, maybe the breakout star of the conference. You said it yourself, underrated receivers. Defense turned the corner last year. Schedule's a gauntlet. It's been that way. They're maybe the classic example of getting screwed by the schedule. Yeah. Otherwise, I may have them in the playoff. I think they're playoff caliber. But I do think they fall just short of the playoff because of this schedule.
It's getting late in the day, ain't it, huh? we start talking about Florida this high up your list. What year are we talking here? No. Maybe in the next regime. No, I just, Billy, I don't hate you. I don't. I really don't. And Florida Gators think, Shane, you fat bastard, you grew up Tennessee fan, I know you hate us. Well, yeah, I hate losing to the Gators every single year. And I look at Tennessee going down to the swamp, probably going to get a loss there. Hopefully not. But going into that game, I'll be like, there's no way in hell,
yeah.
But then we'll find a way. I don't hate Florida Gators. I hate their schedule.
Yeah.
I hate the situation that this coach has put them in to put so much pressure on a second-year quarterback that banged up a little bit. But I shouldn't say that. I'm going to stop talking about injuries till I hear something official. But there's a lot of pressure and a lot of people down there.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it should have been. It shouldn't have been in this. But now here we are back against the wall, and they're kind of stuck with them, you know? And, yeah, have we seen improvement? I thought last year at the end of the season was vast improvement. But I also thought the teams they were playing, it was kind of the opposite. There were teams going the other way. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't week six Ole Miss. It wasn't week – you know, week four LSU, you know. Watch that Arkansas game. If that same football team would have left Arkansas, went down there to Florida, I don't know if Florida would have won that game. And that's why I'm worried about too much credit, because sometimes we give too much credit and sometimes we put too much pressure on a football team. This is a young quarterback that will have a lot of potential, a lot of people coming back, but I'm just afraid that the expectations and is too high on the Florida Gators. I just don't see them finishing that high. One of the worst schedules in the country.
You just hate them. It's clear as day.
Clear as mud, right?
Well, another one you hate, which I think they're rejoicing. Number four, this team has won me over somehow, yet again, Texas A&M. I think A&M makes the playoff if we can get four this year instead of, I mean, it was a travesty. We only got three. But this is the team. They're going to have to flip a couple games. But, again, Texas 8-4, I get it, which is absolutely true. That's not all on Mike Elko, though. He's only been there 1 year. We got to – I know it's so hard, Shane. Put our minds into 7-1. We were 7-1. We were the hottest team in the SEC. And I know it all fell apart. But what do we say? We say this about all the damn coaches, quarterbacks, coordinators, year two. Year two is a takeoff year. If we were the best AM team year one, yes, it fell apart, but they weren't getting their ass kicked week in, week out. You know, it was just critical errors in the Auburn game. Texas kicked our ass, but it was only a 10-point game, but they kicked our ass. Southern Cal was not an ass-kicking by any means in the bowl game. We just – a play here, a play there. That's what it's going to take this year. Take that next step. Offense take the next step. Defense really got to take that next step. But this is confidence of Mike Elko. They got talent all over there. I think if A&M can finish the deal, there's no doubt that they can get to 10-2.
Yeah, 10-2, or 8-4.
10-2.
Mike, it's 7:29 and A&M still sucks. All right. No, I just kidding. I'm off the A&M way. And like you said, they're probably happy for once
right.
that my fat ass is not tied up with Texas A&M, because I do see potential.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Reed the other day. I love this offensive line. I think this is kind of getting back to that old school ground and pound. They got two of the – I mean, this is going to be – a better football team. I just don't know if it ends with a better record. I'm seeing 8-4, 9-3, you know, which is still a great year. If you didn't see how Elko got to 8-4 last year, think about that. Compared to what Jimbo, you know, torched down there, I think that was a success. It's just they ended the year, what, with three losses out of the last four games, and that's what we remember, not – the 7-1 prior to. So I'm kind of with you. I'm a little torn with A&M. Again, I do think they're a better football team. I do think Elko's the right guy, but there's some concerns for me. Wide receiver room,
You know, I know Elko's going to be more involved with the defense, but let's not act like the defense didn't have some moments last year. They looked absolutely horrid. So I think that's the big one for me, is just a little more accountability, a little more depth, a little bit more development, and, again, a little luck. Got to have a little bit of luck there. And A&M, I don't think 10-2 is on the board, but it wouldn't blow my mind for a 9-3.
All right, number three here. And now I'm really splitting hairs. Because there's a big gap, I think, between 3 and 4 in this conference. I think there's 3 elite teams. I think we all know who they are. I'm going Georgia, number 3. So not Georgia in the SEC championship game, which is a little bit bold. I know last year they got it done with all the tough road games. But you're playing Bama at home. You're playing Texas at home. Playing at Tennessee. Ole Miss at home. Florida away from Athens. I mean, I see a couple losses here. I still think Georgia will make the college football playoff, but yeah, you talk to a Georgia fan, I know Kirby and all of them say, well, hell, SEC championship means something to me, does it? I mean, you lost your quarterback, may have lost the national championship because hell, a couple years ago, lost to Bama in the SEC championship. If you didn't have to play in that either, you probably would have won another national championship. If I could promise a Georgia fan today, you're not going to go SEC championship, but I guarantee you a playoff, and it probably means a home playoff. They'll sign my ass up. I'll take it. You know what?
Yeah, for me, I think we're at that point.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. These next three are going to the playoffs and should. I feel like the top three teams in the SEC should be lock-ins for the playoffs. But, you know, I don't know, man. We talked about the quarterbacks. I wasn't high on Gunner, but I was high on what was around him. I think this defense.
What about the offensive and defensive line, basically, though, replacing most of those guys, if not all of them, not all of them, but most of them, and the fact we were 15th in rushing last year. Like, those are not major red flags, but those are red flags to me that the program is taking a step back. And, again, step back from 2 straight national championships, should have been a 3rd. It's almost like they're coming back down to the pack a little bit.
I get that. I totally understand that. And I'm sure Kirby just clipped the shit out of that and going to use it for fuel this year. But I think at the end of the day, what gets you to a dance is talent.
Yeah.
What wins the dance is coaching. And I feel like they've got the talent, arguably the best coach in the country. And I will never. It's like I just can't. I could definitely see Georgia going undefeated this year. And the closer we get to this thing, like I was excited. Like I get excited about teams, Mike. You know. Hell, yeah. we see each other every day. It's like, oh, man, Texas. Oh, man, you know. We haven't got to it. Alabama. Oh, I'm all in, baby. Let's do it, you know. And then I'm at the end of the day. I see Kirby just sitting over in the corner watching this, shaking his head, just disappointment. And this feels like a big year for the Georgia Bulldogs. And the closer we get, the more I like them better than anybody. So you're wrong on your list here, Mike. I think Georgia should be higher.
I don't know if you heard this, but if Georgia hires Kirby Smart, Tennessee and Florida are going to own the SEC. they have to go back 10 years to get a tweet from – you got to go back 10 years to find something wrong,
I said.
I don't
know how you search it. Like, I know you could search stuff. They must have put you and then Kirby. But still, you said so much about Kirby. It must have been a Muschamp thing. I don't know. Or somebody ain't got time.
I give him credit.
Maybe it's AI now. You know, they're doing everything. This may not even be real.
I should have said that. It's fucking AI.
Oh,
I didn't
damn.
Say this.
Yeah. You got botted, man.
All right. Number 2, God's gift to football, Shane, Texas.
Texas.
And a lot of it's got to do with the schedule. Let's be real. If they were playing Georgia schedule or something like that, I don't know if they're crowning them walking into the SEC. But you spend $50 million on a roster, it's what you're going to get. You're going to get some success. Arch Manning's going to be good. You know, they get most of the difficult games at home. They do got to go at Florida, but they should control that game. A&M, they get them at home. You know, Oklahoma, that may be their trickiest game away from, you know, neutral field and all that. But, Texas, I could see them finishing a little bit lower. I could see them finishing number 1. But I'm fairly confident. You know, all the resources they're putting into their program, it should pay off here.
This feels like the safest bet on the board, don't it?
Yeah. Their defense should be phenomenal.
You know, it's funny. It almost feels like those – remember when Nick Saban went on that run and we always put Alabama first, but they usually didn't finish first. They usually finished second or third. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This feels kind of like that, like everyone's force-feeding you Texas and telling you you need to like this.
Yeah.
I could see Texas losing a game or two. That wouldn't blow my mind. But that's the thin line that we will have this year, that there'll be several one-loss, two-loss teams in this conference that potentially could be number one. So, yeah, we are splitting hairs right here at this spot. Texas is loaded. Texas is talented. They've got a really good quarterback. You may not think about it, but I think they've got a fantastic quarterback and a brilliant-minded coach. I think Sark doesn't get he probably does get enough credit. But, you know,
too much credit.
Yeah, maybe we should dial that back a little bit. But I do think that he's a super talented coach, and they will have success again this season.
And there's a reality, Shane, where Oklahoma implodes, Florida implodes. I know you firmly believe that.
Yep.
And we're sitting here. What if Texas loses to Ohio State, loses to Texas A&M? We could have that same conversation. Does 10-2 Texas deserve to be in the playoff? They beat nobody. You know what I mean?
They were doing that shit last year, you know? Like, look at Texas. Have you really looked at Texas' schedule?
All right, so number one, Shane, I bet all this bandwagon.
Yeah.
Riding it all year. Give me Bama. Again, this is a – again, are they number one today? Probably not. Almost assuredly not. But I think they got as good a roster as Texas and Georgia.
Yeah.
They do got to go to Georgia. They own Georgia. They avoid Texas. They don't play A&M. They don't play Florida. They host LSU. They host Oklahoma. They host Tennessee. Those are all the teams I have, you know, just behind them. So you start putting the pieces together. If they can be better on offense – not have a quarterback that kills them. And I don't want to put it all on Jalen Milroe, but he did kill them a time or two last year. I think the defense will be a lot better. No excuses for Bama. If they don't make the playoff this year, I'm not saying they got to win the SEC like I'm projecting, but if they don't make the playoff, we should fire Kalen DeBoer. Fire his ass.
Ugh. Already on the hot seat. I love it. Well, I mean, when you got Nick Saban recruiting for you, I guess. I mean, you can't really mess that up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's – let's don't – as much shit as we give Hugh Freeze,
yeah.
I think part of the reason is Kalen's having so much success down there on the recruiting trail. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why I'm a little bit more hesitant to put them so high on the list. I mean, we're talking these last three. It simply comes down to this, Mike. I think all three of those teams can win a national championship. I'm basically giving you my coaching rank right now. I like Kirby a little more than I like Sark, and I like Sark more than I like DeBoer. And that's why I have Bama lower than you do. I do think.
Do you know who's undefeated against Kirby and Sark?
Kalen.
DeBoer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can always dig those stats up, you know. You're like me on when I got a chest pain. I'm like, is this a heart attack? Oh God, I'm looking at the symptoms. Like, yeah, if I look hard enough, I could find a reason.
I mean,
I'm dying.
Head-to-head. That's a quality statistic. Head to head.
Yeah, no, I get that. But let's don't act like Alabama and Georgia played Week 8 last year. We would have had the same results. I don't think so. We had five more minutes in that fucking game. I think we would have had a different result. So I do think – I feel like that – we always said that was the toughest job to get,
yeah.
The job after Nick Saban. And I feel like they hit a damn home run. Was it the success that Bama fans are used to? Absolutely not. But what you're watching down there – is a guy that is making this program as good and as elite as they've always been. And that's, at the end of the day, the main goal and objective. So, yeah, I do think Alabama's talented. I think this is a really, really – this is one of my favorite defenses in the country. It's tie. I, you know, if I'm looking at – it's mainly the quarterback room. What does that look like? I'm sure they'll have success, but –
I do worry, if I had any worries, it's a little bit more on the offense side than the defense, of course.
Yeah. What if I told you that Keelan Russell, the true freshman, what if I could guarantee you he was the best freshman quarterback in the country?
Yeah.
How much confidence would you have in Bama if just given that information?
I don't think he's – I mean, he'll come out there. I don't know exactly what the game will be here because we've seen this before. We saw it with DJ. We saw it with Rico. You know, we see with these young, talented quarterbacks just kind of sitting back there like, when are we going to put so-and-so? When are we going to – like, Kalen's going – he's not wanting to lose any games, so he's not going to throw this kid in the fire, mess with his mind, you know. But I do think you ease him in and give him opportunities, maybe a package here or there to play, just like you saw with Arch Manning last year, right. You know.
Well, I think the schedule sets up to where you almost have to lean tie because you're at Florida State week one. You play Wisconsin week three, which you should crush them.
Yeah.
But that's, again, you can't mess around. And then you got Georgia week fourth game.
Yeah.
So this is no time to be starting a freshman. But you can sprinkle them in. You know, give those defenses something extra to prepare for. And if Ty Simpson sucks after Georgia, I think you make the switch.
What I don't want to see, and I don't know if we ever see this day, I'm sure we will, but this whole saving a guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you're paying the guy, I don't think you should. And I know there's conversations, probably contract deals, like I don't want to burn a red shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
But I hate that. If you've got a talented kid that's back there, I want to see him in every damn football game. As soon as Bama goes up 40 points, I need to see this kid out there doing something. And not just handing the ball off. I want to see if he is actually pushing my quarterback to be the number one. And that's – I feel like that's why we don't have these quarterbacks that are just hitting the ground running year two, because now they're like freshmen again. For me – practice, you can practice all you want. Allen Iverson says best. Practice, you know, it's for the birds.
You got to get live action.
Get them out there in live action, and I hope that's something that they do this year in Alabama.
All right, so here's my ballot again. Recap: Bama 1, Texas 2, Georgia 3, A&M 4, Florida 5, LSU 6, Oklahoma 7, Tennessee 8, South Carolina 9, Ole Miss 10, Missouri 11, Auburn 12, Vandy 13, Arkansas 14, Mississippi State 15, Kentucky 16. Which one do I have the most wrong?
MIC! I think MIC, because here's the thing with me. You get in that top six mix, you're just picking your favorite team at that point. I do think LSU has a shot. Other than that, I think your other big miss is the Florida Gators. I think too high on them. You've been fighting this battle, and one of us is right and one of us is freaking wrong. And I know it's you, but I just don't want to embarrass you today. So I think Mizzou and Florida are your biggest misses.
Okay. Yeah, I think Florida, that may be the one I don't know about least confident. I'm pretty confident. I would say least confident up top, probably A&M.
That was another one.
You know what I mean? Because they swing and miss quite a bit. It's bound to happen eventually, right? And then maybe one team that could prove me wrong. Ole Miss or Auburn, I think.
Ole Miss or Auburn. I hope that it's Auburn. I just want to be there. You know, I want to call you from the golf course every time I think about their record. Can I ask you this? Your list, very – SEC is deep. How many of those teams, not will be in the playoffs, but how many teams should be in the playoffs if you're looking at it? Because I know we're going to have the voting.
Probably about six.
Six. Do you think the SEC, I felt like SEC had a down year last year. Maybe you could argue 2 years, but definitely last year. Do you think that this is the best SEC that we've had in the last 5 years? Four years? Let's say 4 years. Cumulative. Not just top heavy, but I'm just thinking.
Oh, yeah. Not top heavy, because that's what I thought you were going.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's the elite teams, but yeah, I think 1 to 16, it's stronger than ever.
Is there anybody under 10, last thing I'll ask you, that's under 10 on your list right now that you see, stars align, this team could be one of those playoff teams?
Missouri.
I just want to hear you. See? I knew I'd get to them. Drink, me and you can talk. We'll leave this bastard alone over here.
All right, I think that's a perfect place to end it. We're on our way to Media Days. Like, subscribe, share, comment, all that jazz. We appreciate each and every one of you, and we'll see you down at SEC Media Days.
All right, see you guys. Go Balls!